Please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And I'll be reading verses 10 through 20, but then just zeroing in on only a few verses, and one in particular. Okay, follow along as I read Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also with me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Let's bow in prayer. Father, please, may your Holy Spirit be our instructor. May we be students willing and eager to listen and then to apply what we hear this morning. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to share a couple thoughts before I get into the message and before I talk about the matter of prayer. The first thing I want to mention is that the local church is important to me. I hope it's important to you. And I know it's important to Jonathan. We talk about it a lot, ways that we can encourage the church, the body of Christ, all the time. I've been thinking about the local church and promoting the local church all this last week or two. We've been talking about it in our small groups. I'm passionate about it. I'm committed to it. I have had the joy of starting two churches. I love being a pastor of a local church. I have dedicated my life to serving the local church. In many ways, however, I feel so inadequate for this task, but I love the local church. Second, we have family obligations to one another. There are many one another's listed in the Word of God. We are members one another. We are family. That's an awesome concept that I want to get across, and especially in the weeks to come. Third, preaching about prayer is very humbling. Prayer is a tough discipline. In fact, I want you to know I am a fellow struggler in this matter of prayer. I don't have it all together. I don't know really of a person who does have it all together, except the Lord Jesus Christ. So we all have room to grow in this matter of prayer. Fourth, I don't understand all the mechanics of prayer, but God has ordained that He will work through our prayers. I need to obey and trust Him. I can't explain it, but God has ordained it. So I must do it. I must trust Him and respect and pray. Fifth, what is prayer? Prayer is a conversation or communication with God. Prayer is family talk. It is friendly, intimate, frank, unrestricted talking with God. That's awesome that the way is open to us to talk to the God of the universe at any time. We are only allowed this privilege because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. That is an awesome, awesome privilege. I wanted to read the context of what I'm going to be speaking on, and that's on prayer, because I think it's important that we understand that he's talking here about a battle or war, and he's using terminologies that go along with that. And I'd like to begin with an illustration. This story is told by Leroy Imes about the time when he was serving in the Marines in the South Pacific during World War II. And he writes this, "Shortly after we hit the beach, our armored amphibious tank took two shells broadside. We immediately evacuated our disabled vehicle, and we darted from hole to hole toward the enemy airstrip, which we were to take. The sergeant began to check and see if we were all here and if we were all okay. He crawled over to me and asked, 'Are you all right, Imes?' I answered, 'Sure, yeah, I think so, Sarge.' He looked at me and he said, 'Imes, where's your helmet?' I felt the top of my head and answered, 'Well, it must be in the tank that was disabled, Sarge.' He looked again and he said, 'Where's your duty belt, Imes?' The duty belts are what carry the rifles and the canteen and the bayonet. 'Well, Sarge, it must be in the tank too. As a matter of fact, Imes, where's your rifle?' He looked at me with disgust and also with pity. Because of our hasty departure from the disabled tank, I was dressed about the same way one would be dressed to go to a game of volleyball. And there I was, hopping from hole to hole, from tree to tree, and I wasn't equipped for the fight." This illustration really shows the truth about the modern church today. Many Christians have forgotten that we are in a battle and we must be equipped. The Christian life is not a playground, but a battlefield. As a result, a very few of God's people are armed or equipped or ready to wage spiritual battle. Whether we ever believe it or not, we are engaged in a battle. And that's where I'd like to bring out the first point there in your outlines. We are in a battle. And that explains really why we go on and we're talking about this matter of praying for one another. If we know we're in a battle, then we are going to then be prepared or thinking about it and praying for one another. Oh, we're not in a physical war or battle like in Afghanistan or Iraq, but we are in spiritual warfare. In fact, look back at chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, and you'll notice that Paul sets the stage. And he reminds the believers there at Ephesus that they are in a battle. And it says, "Be strong." He's encouraging the troops. "Be strong in the Lord and in His power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand." And here's the enemy, the devil and his scheming. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood," something you can see, something that you can tangibly reach out and smack and hit or shoot. And remember this. In fact, this is a side note. We are not the enemy. Other Christians are not your enemy. We need to always remember that. But if many of you have experienced the fact of local churches that didn't get that point, that other Christians are not the enemy. The unsaved are not the enemy. They are the ones that we ought to love and encourage and figure out a way to minister to them. But we are in a battle, and Satan is our enemy. He is a powerful foe. He is against us. He was kicked out of heaven because of his pride and arrogance and rebellion against God. And ever since that time, he has been out to destroy you and me, anyone that claims the name of Christ. He is our enemy. He's a slanderer. He's a murderer, a liar, a deceiver. And he does so under cover of light. He doesn't play fair. We are under his attacks. In fact, 1 Peter 5:8 says this, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for whom he may," what is it? "Devour." Devour. He is a master at sowing discord. We need to remember we are in a fight. We are also in a fight against the world system that is against God and our own fleshly desires. As parents, I'm a parent of three boys. And one of my missions is to protect my children. Now again, we can become overprotective at times. We can become helicopter parents at times. We have to be careful and find that balance. But I want to protect them. I want to give them the tools necessary to face life and the challenges that they face. But you know what? God is a much better parent than I ever will be. We are children of God. We have an enemy. And when we are having a hard time, we can call on our Heavenly Father to help us. And our Heavenly Father does what all good fathers do. He provides for us and He protects us and He makes a way of escape available to us. Second, in our outlines, because we are in a spiritual battle, we cannot fight in our own strength. We dare not fight it in our own strength with our own reserves, thinking we can do it and we don't need God until emergencies come. No, that's absolutely wrong. And I think you can just picture Paul is there looking at the Roman soldiers around him. In fact, maybe he was even chained to a Roman soldier as he writes this book. And he pens these words for us as a vivid illustration for us to see that we're in a battle. And he says, put on the armor of God. We don't have time to deal with them this morning, but we're going to then drop down to verse 18. And in light of the fact that we're in a battle, we need to pray for one another. In this particular verse, verse 18, there are two key participles, two key phrases that really go back to, really, I think it's maybe even go back to verse 14 where it says, stand, take a stand firm. And the way that we can stand firm is by putting on the armor and by praying as we put on that armor. And he really kind of leaves the best for last. Prayer is vital toward the proper putting on of armor and for gaining the strength that we need to live out the Christian life and to enter into our daily struggle and battle. Prayer is foundational for the use or deployment of the weapons. It's critical for our standing firm in the battle. The apostle wants us to recognize that we desperately need him. Ephesians 6:18, I've put it in the ESV. I think it says it very well. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To the end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. I think really it's the idea of praying at all times with all prayer and keeping alert with perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Any way you shake it down, there's going to be four key points that we're going to bring out here. But notice the repetition of all. And I think these four alls in this verse give us the four points that we need to be reminded as we pray for one another. Number one, pray at all times. Pray at all times. The Jewish people of Paul's day had prescribed certain times of the day that they would pray. But the coming of Christ and the death and resurrection of Christ has opened up a new and living way, and now we can pray at any time, whenever we need to. And Paul is really stressing that things had changed and God's access to us was opened up in a new and living way. How often should we pray? At all times. What does that mean? At all times. All means all. Anytime that you need prayer, you need to pray. Anytime that you are thankful, you need to pray. Pray at all times. Obviously, this doesn't mean that we get down on our knees in every situation all day long and we fold our hands and we look up to heaven. Our boss would look at us rather crazily and say, get back to work. It's the idea of being in an attitude of prayer. Literally, it means at every opportunity. It's the same idea as 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. The Greek word translated without ceasing has been used when referring to a hacking cough. Those of you that get a cold and you get that annoying hacking cough that keeps going on and on, it's the idea, it's repeating over and over. Pray over and over at all times. John Bunyan said, you can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Let me repeat that. He said this, you can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Prayer should always be the first thing we think about, not the last resort. We need to pray in good times and in bad times, in tragedy and in triumph, in our accomplishments and successes. We need to give the praise to Him. And when we fail, when we feel close to God and when we feel distant, we need to pray. When we're on the phone, don't be afraid to pray. Now let the people know you're doing it. They might think you're a little crazy. But pray at all times, whether you're talking to a friend, whether you're listening to a radio and something spurs you on to a momentary bowing your head in prayer of thanksgiving to God. Pray. When you're sitting in church, pray. Now don't fall asleep and make it look like you're praying, but pray. When you're getting ready for surgery, pray. The early church really got it right in this matter. Acts 1:14 says, they were with one mind continually devoting themselves to prayer. Acts 2:42, again we read, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. And on we read throughout the New Testament this emphasis on praying at all times. When we're tempted, we ask God for help. When we experience good and the beautiful, we thank God. When we see evil around us, we pray that God will work in spite of the evil. When we meet someone that does not know Christ, be in prayer that God would work in their hearts. When we encounter trouble, turn to God as our deliverer. Early on in our church here, we were doing a phone campaign just to let everybody know that we were here. We knew that we had to get out of our front living room at our house, and my family got tired of me preaching the sermons just to them, so we thought, let's expand it, and let's let people know that we're here. And so as we were headed into the daycare center on Acorn Lane in Lake in the Hills, our first building we went to, we did a phone campaign. And one of the ladies that came as a result of that was Myrtle Breitholtz. Do any of you remember Myrtle? If you, okay, a few? Myrtle was the type of lady that just in the middle of a conversation, if she felt the need to pray, she would start praying. I'll never forget the time that I was talking on the phone and we ended our conversation. All of a sudden, as I'm about ready to say, well, see you later, she goes, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going, that lady is in conversation with God all the time. And it was uncanny. Right in the middle of a conversation, I'd go to her house, I'd visit with her. She said, let's stop and pray. And she'd be right in prayer and I'm going, wow, this is awesome. And it was so natural. It was just like breathing to her. It was wonderful. She prayed at all times. That was such a breath of fresh air. May that be indicative of us. May that be characteristic of our lives. Second, pray all the time. Second, pray all kinds of prayers. Prayer is not just a formality before a meeting, before church, or at a certain given point in the order of worship. Prayer is not something that you just do before a meal. Pray at all times. All kinds of prayers. Let me list some of those opportunities. All kinds of prayers. Public and private. Verbal and silent. Soft and loud. Deliberate, planned or unplanned. Spontaneous. Requesting God of God. Thanking God. Confession. Humiliation. Prayers of praise. Prayers while you're standing, prayers while you're riding. Keep your eyes open, though, while you're driving. While you're laying down, we can pray at all times. Pray all kinds of prayers. Even when you don't know what to say, God, help me. I am in a desperate situation. Please work on our behalf. So pray at all times. Pray with all kinds of prayers. Third, pray with alertness and with perseverance. Pray with alertness and perseverance. Paul uses a military term to get his point across. He's reminding them, you're like a sentry on duty. Now, think with me for a moment. If you're a sentry on duty in Afghanistan, not far from the Taliban's stronghold, are you going to be alert? You better be. You better be. If you are a security guard at Walmart Superstore, are you going to be alert? Well, hopefully you're alert there too. But which one do you think you're going to be more alert at? Watching out for the snipers? Watching out for the Taliban that could be around every corner? popping over the hill out of a hole, I guarantee you, you're going to be alert. And that's the idea here. Be on the alert. In our spiritual lives, we need to be ready. We need to be watchful. The enemy's out to get us. And then he goes on and says, with perseverance. Hanging in there, not giving up. Perseverance means to devote ourselves constantly to prayer, even when we don't see the results coming. Even when we don't see God acting on our behalf. Even when we don't see the answers that we desire, we pray. Christ kept emphasizing that over and over in Luke chapter 18 in the illustration. In the Sermon on the Mount, he said, ask, seek, and knock. And then it grows in intensity. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Pound the door of heaven. Go before Him at all times with all kinds of prayers, with great perseverance. Don't stop. And fourth, this is where our main point is. We've got just a few moments to talk about it. Pray for all the saints. Now, this is not talking about Saint Joseph's or Saint whatever. This is talking about other believers here. Pray for all the believers. A wonderful term that is used here of the believer, one who is in Christ, is a saint. We may not always act like it, but that is our position before Him. We have the obligation to pray for one another. What does that imply? What we talked about last week. You have to be involved in each other's lives to know what's going on. Now, this doesn't mean that we need to pry in each other's lives. This doesn't mean we need to go off to the side and say, hey, do you know of anything, can you rub up any dirt on so-and-so? No, this is not what we're talking about. It means coming alongside one another and loving each other and saying, how can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? And it's amazing how that opens up a wonderful relationship. Paul says, pray for all the saints. If you're on the battlefield and your fellow soldiers get shot, you're in big trouble. The point is, we're not Christians in isolation. We are in fellowship with a body of believers. We are troops in the battle together. If one member hurts, the whole body hurts. We need to pray for one another. It's difficult to pray for someone that we are at odds with. Maybe there's someone in this congregation that you don't see eye to eye with, that seems like they just don't like you at all. What's my best advice? Pray for them. Pray for them. It's amazing. You cannot hold grudges against someone you're praying for. I guarantee it. You'll either stop praying because of it, or it'll encourage you to pray, and you'll change your whole attitude towards them. Pray for one another. What would happen if our congregation, if every member in our congregation was prayed for every single day by someone? Would that change anything, you think? Would that change our worship? Would that change as we go to work every day, maybe how we view our workplace and that annoying job that we might have, that tedious job that we may have to go through? Would it change our relationships with each other? I believe so. Our duty is to pray for one another. Why? Well, let me give you a couple reasons why you ought to pray for one another. And I don't know if it's on your outlines. Yeah, it is. It's on there. Okay. So here we go. Number one, we are all brothers and sisters on the same side. We are on the same side. We're against the enemy, and the enemy is not one another. It's the devil. It's the worldliness and fighting against that and the temptations that are out there. And fighting against our own inner desires, we need each other. We're on the same side. Second, we're all prone to fall. The Bible says this, take heed if you think you stand, lest you fall. I'll tell you, I used to say early on in my Christian life when I didn't know what it was all about, I said, I could never do that. Oh yeah? Oh my, I don't say that anymore. Nothing is beyond this pastor doing. I tell you, and I need to be in prayer. I need the prayer of other people. Third, because Jesus said we are to love one another, I believe nothing promotes love and unity among the people of God like praying for each other. Nothing promotes the unity of the church of God more than praying for one another. Fourth, we never know when our prayers may be exactly what another Christian needs at that moment. We never know. Your prayers can have a direct effect on someone's life. Your prayers can bless them. Your prayers can lift them up. Your prayers can impact their lives for Christ. You can encourage them through your prayers. Your prayers can keep them from falling. Your prayers can fend off the attacks of the evil one. We need to be praying for one another. I love what John Piper has said in his book, Desiring God. He says, most of the time, we are not just thinking, well, I don't want to pray. We want to pray, but we just don't plan to pray. And he gave the illustration of the fact that when we go on vacation, we don't just all of a sudden at the dinner table, just the husband or wife doesn't just say, let's go on vacation, and you go jump in the car and go off for 4 weeks. You got to plan. You got to plan. And the same thing here, when you pray, you have to plan. It doesn't happen. It doesn't just come naturally. We must plan. We must prepare. And folks, here's something that I want to encourage you with. Don't just pray for the physical only. I mean, we've got a lot of people that are going through some really dark times right now. And it's important. And there's nothing wrong with praying for healing and like that. But there's so much more that we can be praying about. And one of those examples is, in as you look at the Apostle Paul, how does he pray for people? That's a great illustration. We're going to be talking some more about that in the next 2 weeks. But he talks about that they would walk in a manner worthy of Christ. In Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, he talks about this over and over, that they may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Only conduct yourself in a worthy manner, Philippians. In Ephesians, that you may walk worthy of the calling to which you've been called. What does that mean? That means that you need to pray for humility in others, for purity of life, for love, for patience, for thankfulness. You know, we don't just all kind of go, just all of a sudden one day wake up and are just oozing with love, oozing with patience with one another. We need to be praying that God would just help us to be growing in those areas. So pray for all the saints, and then be in your outlines, pray for your leaders. Pray for your leaders. Paul set that a great example of that. Notice what he says in verse 19. Pray also for me. And he often ended his letters with that. Pray for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I may be fearless and make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly. I am an ambassador of his in chains. What? Paul was so dynamic and so out there. He needed prayer for courage. He's praying for clarity and courage. Lord, give me clarity as I speak. Lord, give me courage to say the right thing at the right time. I want to encourage you today to pray for your pastors and to pray for your leaders. Pray for your deacons. Pray for your teachers here. Because who is the devil going to want to attack the most? The leaders. Because then when people come in the church and they see if something happens to me or to Jonathan or one of our leaders, it would destroy us here at our church because we're looking and saying, wow, if they did that or what, you know, foolishness, why should I be a part of this local church? I am so thankful. In the last week, I have had two of our members that have come up to me and said the most meaningful words that I've heard in a long time. Pastor Mark, I have been praying for you and your wife every day. I was so encouraged by that. It meant the world to me. I thank God for that. Folks, I plan to minister here for a long time if the Lord gives me strength and as long as you can put up with me. I plan to love my wife and care for my family as long as God gives me strength. I want to give my best for the church. I want to give my best to the community and love them as Christ would have me to do that. I want to stick to the gospel of Christ. I want to preach without apologizing. I want to live a life that is honoring to God, but I cannot do it on my own. I need you to pray for us. And that really brings to the last point in our outline, the key to all of this praying is noticed there in verse 18, and pray in the Spirit. This is not to be in our own strength. Our prayers must be Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered. We must come to the Lord with a true heart, in accordance with His will, and doing what He wants us to do. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are engaged in a battle with unseen, wicked forces. We need one another. We need to be praying at all times with all kinds of prayers, with alertness and perseverance, and we must be praying for each other. A story from the Korean War illustrates this attitude. As enemy forces advanced, Baker Company was cut off from the rest of their unit. For several hours, no word was heard, even though headquarters repeatedly tried to communicate with the missing troops. Finally, a faint signal was received. Straining to hear, the corpsman asked, "Baker Company, do you read me?" "Yes, this is Baker Company." "What is your situation?" asked the corpsman. They replied, "The enemy is on the east, the enemy is to the north, the enemy is to the west, and the enemy is to the south." After a brief pause, the sergeant of Baker Company said with determination, "Well, the enemy is not going to get away from us now. We've got him right where we want him." Wow, what a way to look at it. I don't think I would have taken the same approach. Although surrounded and outnumbered, he was thinking of victory, not defeat. Our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, has already won the victory. Therefore, let's avail ourselves of the tools that He has given through the armor of God and through praying as we put on each piece. We are in a fight for our lives, but victory belongs to us because it says, "Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world." Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. These two thoughts in closing. No one ever outgrows the need for prayer. Some of us find it hard to say, "Pray for me," because it may indicate or may show that we are weak. And you know what? We are. And that's why we need prayer in the first place. We aren't that strong. We aren't that smart. In fact, every week I am amazed as things come my way. I'm thinking, I've been in the ministry now for almost 30 years and I don't have the foggiest what I'm doing. I mean, it's just amazing how God just keeps me humbled by how stupid I am and how much I need Him. The old spiritual says this, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. So no one ever outgrows the need for prayer. You need prayer. And second, no one ever outgrows the need to pray for others. Someone you know needs your prayers right now. In the army of the Lord, every soldier needs help. This last Thursday night in our small group, we were talking about this. When we go forward, and Jorge was using the illustration, when you're preparing for battle, when you're in a unit, you've got to know that someone's covering your back. And you go forward, but you're confident that someone's got your back. Folks, prayer is the way that we've got each other's back. We're there for each other. We're covering them with arsenal of prayer. We need each other. Pray for one another. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love You. Thank You for not leaving us on our own. Thank You for not abandoning us among the enemy. And Father, the enemy is fierce and we so easily fall. But oh God, may this band of believers at New Life Baptist Church, the band of believers that have united together to form this core, may we be faithful to You. May we apply and put on the armor of God. And may we have courage, may we have fortitude to pray for each other, to pull alongside, to love each other enough, to care each other for each other enough, to pray for one another. Oh God, this is so important. Grip a hold of our hearts. And oh, may we see You do great things through us as we walk forward on our knees. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.